Kelly was the first one to greet Admiral Maxwell as he emerged from the helicopter. "We're going," he asked. "Tonight," Maxwell confirmed. Kelly felt the usual chill. It wasn't practice anymore. Maxwell went over to Captain Albee. Albee got the word, and his back went a little straighter. The mission was go. The message delivered, Maxwell came back to the helicopter. "I guess you want that quick liberty," Maxwell said to Kelly. "You said you'd do it, sir." The Admiral clapped the young man on the shoulder. "You'll be back here by midnight." "Aye, aye, sir." A short while later, Kelly was in another life.
"So, what's the story, Mr. McKenzie?" Hicks asked.
"They approved it," the special assistant replied.
"Can you say what?"
What the hell, McKenzie thought. Hicks had a clearance, and it was a chance to display something of his importance to the lad. In 2 minutes, he covered the high points of Boxwood Green.
"Sir, that's an invasion," Hicks pointed out as evenly as he could.
"I suppose they might think so, but I don't. They've invaded 3 sovereign countries, as I recall."
"But the peace talks, you said yourself."
"Oh, screw the peace talks. Damn it, Wally, we have people over there, and what they know is vital to our national security."
"They took their chances. They lost,"
Hicks answered with the coldness of youth. "You know, that sort of detachment may have its use, but one difference between us is that I've been there and you haven't," McKenzie growled.
"Yes, sir." What else could he say? Damn. He really needed someone to talk to about this.
"John."
Not a word in 2 weeks.
"Hello, Sandy," Kelly smiled.
"Where have you been?" Sandy asked, waving him in, not wanting the neighbors to know.
"Off doing something," Kelly dodged.
"Doing what?"
"Nothing illegal, I promise," was the best he could do.
"You're sure?"
"John," Sarah called down the stairs, saving both from the awkward moment. "Have we got a surprise for you?"
Dr. Rosen came down the stairs looking as frumpy as ever.
"What brings you here?"
"I'm going to be going somewhere, and I wanted to stop over before I left."
"Where to?"
"I can't say." The answer chilled the room. "How is she?"
"She's doing fine, thanks to you," Sarah answered.
"John, we need to talk, okay?"
Sandy insisted, pulling Kelly into the kitchen.
"John, what exactly have you been doing?"
"You're better off not knowing, Sandy."
"Billy and Rick?"
Kelly's face was grim. "They won't be doing those things anymore."
"John, you can't do things like that. The police
are infiltrated," Kelly told her. "The organization has compromised somebody. Probably somebody very high up. Because of that, I can't trust the police. And neither can you, Sandy."
"How do you know that?"
"I asked Billy some questions." Sandy's face gave him guilt.
"Sandy, do you think anybody really cares about those girls?"
"No. I'm trying to scratch up information to burn the drug ring. If you want to turn me in, well, I can't stop you."
"John, you can't do this," she said.
"Why not?" Kelly asked. "They kill people. They do horrible things, and nobody's doing anything about it. What about the victims, Sandy? Who speaks for them?"
"The law does."
"And when the law doesn't work, then what? Do we just let them die? Remember the picture of Pam?"
"Yes," Sandy replied, losing the argument.
"They took hours on her, Sandy. Your house guests watched. They made her watch."
"She told me."
Kelly paused, controlling his pain. "She's okay?"
"We're going to take her home in a few days."
"Thanks. Thank you for taking care of her." Sandy took a deep breath.
"You said you're going away?"
"Yes. If things work out, I should be back in about 2 weeks."
"Will it be dangerous?"
"Not if I do it right."
"Doing what?"
"A rescue mission," he answered. "That's as far as I can go. And please, don't repeat that to anyone. I'm leaving tonight."
Sandy looked away. Vietnam? She asked after a few moments.
That's right.
Damn you, John. I've started to care about you, she blurted out. The pain returned to his face.
Don't. You might get hurt again, and I wouldn't want that.
He hesitated a moment, then gave her Admiral Greer's private phone number to call if she needed anything. Sarah came in just then, leading Doris into the kitchen. The girl was transformed. Her eyes were animated now, and she was moving under her own power.
You're him, she said quietly.
I guess I am. How are you?
She smiled.
I'm going home soon. Daddy wants me back.
I'm sure he does, ma'am, Kelly said.
She was so different from the victim he'd seen only a few weeks before. Maybe it did all mean something.
The same thought came into Sandy's mind just then. Doris was the innocent one, and but for Kelly, she would be dead. Nothing else could have saved her. Sandy caught Kelly's eye, and they shared a look of understanding.
So, maybe it was Eddie, Piaggi said. I told him to sniff around, and he said he doesn't have anything.
And nothing's happened since you talked to him, Henry replied.
Piaggi nodded.
How much you want to bet that if Eddie takes a little trip, nothing else happens?
Anything happens to Eddie, there could be trouble, Piaggi said, protesting mildly.
Let me handle it. I have a way that'll work just fine.
Tell me about it, Piaggi said. 2 minutes later, he nodded approval.
Is it enough? Can I stop now? But what was enough?
Think it through, Kelly said aloud as he drove back to the Marine base. What do you know that others can use? It was quite a lot, really. Billy had told him much. The drugs were processed on one of those wrecked ships. He had Henry's name and Bert's. He knew a senior narcotics officer was in Henry's employ. Could the police take that and make a strong case from it? And if so, was that good enough?
The bags stink, Billy had said, like dead bodies, like the stuff they use. What the hell did that mean? And what did any of it mean? Where was right? Where was wrong? Where was the line between them? It was 11:30 when he drove into the training site.
Glad you made it, Marty Young observed sourly.
Sir, I've had a bad enough night. Be a pal and stow it, all right?
Young took it like the man he was. Mr. Clark, you sound like you're ready.
Those guys in Sender Green are ready.
Fair enough, tough guy.
How is England, Peter? Hicks asked.
Pretty nice, Henderson said. They were in Peter's apartment in Georgetown.
So what's happening that you wanted to tell me about? The Senate aide asked Hicks.
We're invading the North again, the White House aide answered.
What?
Things are moving along.
Well, you can kiss that goodbye for a while, Hicks said morosely as he began to roll a joint.
You should lay off that shit, Wally.
Doesn't give me a hangover like beer does. Shit, Peter, what's the difference?
The difference is your fucking security clearance.
Like that matters. Peter, they don't listen. You talk and talk to them, and they just don't listen.
Hicks lit up and took a long pull.
I'm gonna leave soon anyway. Dad wants me to come and join the family business.
You shouldn't let it get to you, Wally. You think we can fix things overnight?
I don't think we can fix things at all. There's going to be a cloud of ICBMs, and it's all going to be over, Peter. Just like we thought.
It wasn't Hicks' first smoke of the evening.
Wally, tell me what the problem is.
There's supposedly this camp, Hicks began, relating what he knew.
That is bad news, Henderson responded.
They think there's a bunch of people there, but it's just a supposition. We only know about one. What if we're fucking over the peace talks for one guy, Peter?
When is it going?
Not sure. Roger didn't say exactly.
Wally, you have to stay with it. We need people like you in the system.
Sometimes they will listen. What if this mission fails? What if it turns out you're right? Roger will listen to you then, and the president listens to Roger, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, sometimes.
What a remarkable chance this was, Henderson thought.